Hasbro, the toy company behind the Monopoly board game and My Little Pony action figures, warning Monday this could be another difficult year. That concern coming with a revenue warning from Hasbro for the 3 months, including the holiday shopping season, and follows a dire projection from smaller rival Jack's Pacific. In September, it declared this would be a money-losing year because of exposure to Toys R Us.
That what's happened this year is that the actual number of deals is not really down, but large deals, absolutely down. When you come into a year where we have so much uncertainty on taxes, I mean, particularly taxes, if you don't know what the repatriation rate is, if you don't know what the corporate tax rate is, it's very hard to do deals. And yet people are still doing deals. And it doesn't really matter how it ends up, because, you know, if the rate's 20%, 25%, it's just the uncertainty on figuring out valuations.
If we go back to the measures that were presented by the government on Saturday, essentially Madrid would take over the Catalan regional government. Everyone would get dismissed. They could also get control of media, police, and so on. So there's serious tough measures. Is that some are calling for this human shield to kind of stop the Spanish from entering the local government and the regional government in Catalonia.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's October 24th, 2017. It's 5:12 in the morning, and we're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell. Lots to cover in the show this morning, all about innovation. How about we dare some mighty things? Mike Gelfman is here. He's the founder of Dare Mighty Things, and his conference is coming up. Lots of talk about what we might do as a city to be great, to do mighty things, and we'll bring in Mike momentarily. We'll have him for the whole hour, too, to talk about innovators and innovation. But first, let's check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Asian stock markets edged up this morning after Wall Street slid overnight. Investors are looking for new drivers for trading activity. On the board this morning, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street later this morning, with Dow futures up about 45 points, S&P futures up about 2, and NASDAQ futures up about 4. The rest of the markets in Asia are mixed, with the Hang Seng down almost a half a percent, down 150 points. The Shanghai is up about 7. In Europe this morning, markets are generally higher, with the FTSE in London up just a fraction. The DAX is up about a quarter, and the CAC in France is up about a quarter as well. Oil is trading this morning at $52.30 a barrel, which is up almost 0.3 of a percent. Some stories that we're watching for you this morning. The latest on the tax plan. You may have heard over the weekend that there was a proposal that might have limited what we could contribute to 401ks. Yesterday, you heard President Trump say that would not be part of the tax plan. We'll see if that is the case moving forward. Lots of blowback there from people who have 401ks, lots of people in the investment community. Fidelity was one of those on the phone with the president over the weekend complaining. Amazon will be sorting through 238 proposals from cities and regions in the United States, Canada, and Mexico that are hoping to land the company's second headquarters and investment it'll bring. Of course, Chicago and Illinois are in the running there as well. Amazon kicked off its hunt for a second home in September, promising 50,000 new jobs and construction spending of more than $5 billion. Proposals were due last week. Amazon's made it clear that tax breaks and grants would be a big factor in deciding what entry prevails, and the decision could come sometime next week. The conference is called Dare Mighty Things, and it's November 3rd in Chicago. Mike Gelfin is the founder of Dare Mighty Things, and he is with us this morning in the studio. Mike, good morning.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here with us. And by the way, thank you for, there was a list you put out back in September, I believe, 37 influential people in media. I've never made it on one of those lists before, so thank you for putting me there.
It's well deserved.
Such great company, too, with all the others that
are
there.
Some good people, influential people. Yeah. I learned a lot about the city by doing that research, so.
Well, and it's your fresh eyes, too, to the city. You've tell us a little bit about your background before we get started here.
So the reason why this conference exists is because of a community that I started in Kansas City. It's been almost a 10-year journey. This thing started with happy hours and meetups and that sort of thing, and then became thousands and thousands of members. We have 13,000 members, and that community was the foundation of creating this conference, because I started to realize the possibilities of creating things that we wanted to push, you know, the city forward with Kansas mm-hmm. City, with Google Fiber and all of those things. And so, you know, this conference has 5 years running. This will be the sixth year, the first year in Chicago. And, you know, all we want is the opportunity to inspire people. And the response has been amazing from the city so far.
People always talk about coming up with a grassroots or organization. It sounds like that is the definition of grassroots, what you just described.
Yeah, you know, it's really meaningful. Community's everything. It's why we exist. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of these things that have been created, especially this conference, could have never predicted. If I would have gone back 9 years ago to when this whole thing started and said, you know, you're going to create this, it's going to be 13,000 members, you're going to create this world-class conference, and it's been in Forbes, Fast Company, all of this stuff, I would have said you're crazy. But now I'm here, and, you know, our purpose is to inspire people, to show people that anything is possible through the stories of some of these people who have built things and never given up.
And the list is really kind of jaw-dropping. Let's go through some of the folks that are going to be there. Let's start from the beginning, from the most popular to the most well-known, perhaps, to, you know, give me who your favorites are on this list. I know it's going to be hard, man, because this list
is so tough. Yeah. They're all amazing in their own right. That's the thing, is that, you know, Each speaker is a pioneer in their own field, whether it's artificial intelligence, robotics. You know, we've got Jason Fried, Basecamp co-founder and CEO, is going to be here. I'm really excited because I've been trying to get him as a speaker for since 2013. Mm-hmm. And so this year I was like, hey, we're actually coming to Chicago. But, you know, other people we have are Andy Grignan, who helped Steve Jobs build the first iPhone. It's amazing to think about. You know, you're holding this device in your hand that this speaker helped create. We also have the guy who, you know, from NASA JPL, who helped build the NASA Mars rover. Those are the stories that really inspire me. I mean, they're all amazing, but some of those are the top people, you know. Just to go through it quickly, but
right, Melanie Wise, CEO of Fetch Robotics, will be here. Devaki Raj of Crowd AI. There's a theme here: lots of robotics and AI. Is there a theme, or is it just inspiration for the conference?
Well, each of these segments is a innovation, whether it's AI, quantum computing, you know, NASA Mars 2020, all of these things. There are different segments of technology and innovation. And the thing is the outcomes are all different, right? To create a quantum computer, to create artificial intelligence. But all the things that went into it are all the same. Mm-hmm. Persistence, you know, belief, and believing that something's possible. Because the first step to creating anything great is to believe that it's, you know, it's actually possible. And these people are creating those things. They took on challenges. They dare mighty things. And I want them to serve as examples to these people who are coming to our conference from 17 cities, major cities, and around the nation. So,
Mike, hang on. We're going to take a quick break here. We're on with Mike Gelfman this morning. He's the founder of Dare Mighty Things. We're going to be talking more about the conference and that inspiration, how we find it, what it looks like, and how it might propel us forward as we continue here on The Opening Bell.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Investors on Monday backed away from last week's gains, leaving the Dow Jones Industrial Average 55 points lower at 23,273. The NASDAQ down 42 points at 65,86. The S&P 500 off 10 points. Hasbro warns of holiday fallout from the Toys R Us bankruptcy, issuing a weaker-than-expected forecast that sent the toy maker's shares down 10% yesterday. The surprise Chapter 11 filing last month underscored the Amazon-fueled shift away from brick-and-mortar retailing. Amazon, by the way, has received 238 proposals from communities in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico, hoping to be the home of the company's second headquarters and its 50,000 new jobs. A decision is expected from Amazon sometime next year. And beginning this weekend, the Mega Millions lottery will cost twice as much to play, the ticket price rising to $2. The company also will have longer odds and bigger potential prizes. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 524. We're on with Mike Elfman this morning. He's the founder of Dare Mighty Things, a conference November 3rd in Chicago. Mike, where is it going to be at?
It's going to be at the Auditorium Theater, Roosevelt University.
Okay. That's a nice big crowd there.
Amazing. It's an amazing venue. You know, that's the whole experience, is you got to pick an incredible, memorable venue. And, you know, we looked at a lot of them, and that was an incredible place to bring these speakers and to show people what we're creating and to be a part of it.
When I hear the name Dare Mighty Things, I always think of Daniel Burnham, Make No Small Plans. Where did Dare Mighty Things come from? Is it a quote like that, or is it?
It's actually a part of a larger quote by Teddy Roosevelt. And to me, you know, it's about how we should all try and think about more of the lives and the world, because, you know, greatness is within all of us. And when you think about anybody who did incredible things, sending humans to the moon, the Wright brothers, those sorts of things, all of those people, they happen because people believe that they are possible because they dared mighty things. And when I think, you know, when you think about those perspectives, you know, sending humans to the moon or a two-ton rover to Mars, it changes how you see the world and the possibilities that you're able to achieve for yourself and your own life. That's the purpose of this conference, to show people through those stories of those people who have created things and never given up.
And also developing the iPhone, that's another one. I mean, I think a lot of us today take that for granted, take this little device for granted. Do you, when you see the crowds at these, do you see them, the people in there, do you see the light bulbs above their head? Do you see them getting inspired in real life, in real time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get to see a lot of it, you know, because we're behind the scenes making stuff happen. But when we have the videos later on, when we're editing that stuff and you see the audience, you see their faces light up and, you know, them laughing or, you know, them looking inspired, it makes all of the hard work worth it, because that's the outcome that we want. We want people to have this lasting, meaningful experience that they'll never forget. It's really about a journey, taking them on a journey of the mind.
Mm-hmm. So how can people get tickets and come see this event? Online, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so it's daremightythings.co. It's daremightythings.co. And, you know, all the information is on there. You know, we have lots of companies coming. We have people coming from 17 cities and also Chicago as well. Companies like Groupon, Bosch, you know, tons of innovative startups, and it's exciting to see this ecosystem come alive and embrace this brand new thing that they hadn't heard of. That's what's meaningful to me, to see this community support, you know, somebody who just arrived here.
Right. Mike, hang on with us. We're going to keep you for the next segment. We'll come back after the news and talk more about innovators. I'd like to get your thoughts on, you know, what an innovator is, actually, and talk more about this inspiration. Mike Gelfman, the founder of Dare Mighty Things, on with us here on The Opening Bell on this Tuesday edition.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It's 540, and we're glad you're here with us for our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. And happy to have you in the studio this morning. Mike Gelfman is the founder of Dare Mighty Things. The conference is November 3rd at the Auditorium Theater. Inc. calls it one of 8 top tech conferences you don't want to miss. That's a pretty good endorsement, Mike.
It's a validation of what we're creating. You know, we've had a lot of speakers who have spoken at some of the most elite conferences around the world, and 3-4 years later, they still describe it as one of the best tech conferences they've ever spoken at. And to me, that's meaningful. That's proof. It's not only the speakers, but it's also the attendees, how they feel about it. And, you know, I love that as a creator, somebody who's creating something, to have people say that about something you've worked so hard to build, you know, it means everything to me.
We talk often about innovators. What are the ingredients of an innovator? Is it just beyond the status of the name? Is it something in the DNA of somebody that makes them an innovator?
It's tough for me to believe that sort of thing. I think, like I said, I think greatness is within all of us. The problem is we're taught to consume, not create. I think if we all were taught at a very young age to create more things and to create things, many people would realize they're capable. I think what keeps people from starting things is, you know, they see the end result, whether it's, you know, Picasso or Bach. They don't understand or see the very first creations of these people. It's an iterative process, and it's something, you know, once you find your passion for, you keep going, and then eventually it ends up turning into this hopefully beautiful thing if you just keep going. I think it's really, you know, two things, persistence and belief. Those two things are what help to create. Those are things like the Wright brothers had. That's right. All they had. And those things help them, you know, propel them to the first flight.
Is that the responsibility of parents and teachers to help our kids be more creative?
I think it's just as a society, we have to think about those things, you know, as to create more, because then you learn your own potential, whether it's music or art or any of these things. I think people realize, you know, what they're capable of, that they're capable of creating anything. And I just refuse to believe it's in a DNA or anything like that. We're just the people who created the Mars rover and those sort of thing. I mean, I just don't. We're all the same. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah. And you see from time to time a headline in one of the journals or one of the magazines or newspapers say we're looking for the next innovator. Everybody's on the lookout for the next innovator. Are we looking too hard for the next innovator, or it might be sitting right at the table with us in a way, right?
I think, you know, there's so many great things. It is like, what is innovation? There's so many industries that amazing things are happening, and you only hear in the headlines. There's only room for so many stories to really get out there. Who are the people that are creating the next, you know, generation of innovations, whether it's technology or farming or anything like that? It's just really somebody with an idea, or starts out with an idea and then it evolves into something bigger.
Mm-hmm. What gives you inspiration? Give us a sense of what makes you get up and go every morning and do these things.
It's really the chance to inspire other people through what we're creating. You know, whenever I get, overcome struggles and stuff through being an entrepreneur, you have to think about, I think about two things. There's a picture of the Wright brothers when they were the first to flight. There's this moment, this black and white photo. And whenever I look at that, I wonder what it was like to be there in that moment to after they had tried so many times, mm-hmm. over and over. And, you know, for them, what was that? Well, it's like, I think everybody has a moment like that, you know, and also other stories like the NASA Mars Curiosity rover. There's a story about the parachute. And the parachute is obviously what kept it from crashing into the surface. Mm-hmm. Well, they tested it in the wind tunnel almost 5,000 times. And if you just think about that one piece of a 2-ton rover, and if they would have given up on that one piece, none of that other stuff would have happened. And I just think, again, when you think about perspectives about a 2-ton rover on Mars, how did that happen? I think it gives us perspective on what, like, oh, I can't, you know, this website, I can build this website. Like, they sent a 2-ton rover to Mars. So it's just perspective and thinking, these people have done incredible things. I can too. Anybody can.
When you've come to Chicago from Kansas City, it's kind of a unique opportunity for those of us who live here to maybe pick your brain and say, what is it that you see about Chicago that's making Chicago successful these days? You mentioned earlier the ecosystem is strong here, but what does that mean?
It's just incredible, you know, this community here. I'm still on the just scratching the surface of it, but it's people like, you know, Scott Catoon at Technori in 1871 and Hyde Park Angels, all these community partners that we've had, they're part of this ecosystem. And it's just incredible to see the scale of it, how much venture capital is here, how many startups that are generating revenue here, how many accelerators and incubators, there's like 20 or 30. And it's just incredible. It's, you know, everything that an entrepreneur could want. There's so many there's just unlimited resources here and this whole ecosystem and people that think bigger and people who want to accomplish things. That's the exciting part to me is, and, you know, to have those people to see that and then have them support what we're doing, it means a ton.
How do you think all of that helps us in this? We mentioned at the top of the program today, the application for Amazon. How do you think all of that stuff that you just talked about, it's going to help us with this bid for Amazon?
You know, I think those are all assets to a community. Those are things that those places look for when they're making these decisions. And, you know, those things should definitely be in consideration for this. I think it'd bring a lot of opportunity, growth, and jobs to this city, and it'd be a wonderful thing to see. But I think, like I said, that ecosystem is a major factor, because if you don't have the talent, you don't have the university systems, and, you know, and then you don't have the venture capital, like, it's just this recipe, this magical recipe that kind of goes together, and it creates this, I don't know what it is. It's just self-sustaining, and it sustains itself and keeps going and keeps growing and encouraging more people to be entrepreneurs and to get into tech and those sorts of things. So
November 3rd, again, is the Dare Mighty Things conference at Auditorium Theater. John Carl, the co-founder of Boom Supersonic, Vern Brownell, a quantum computer engineer, the folks from NASA you mentioned, people from DARPA. It's going to be an important thing. Tell us how the day is going to go again. Is it just going to be speaker after speaker, one right after the other?
Yeah, so it's about 20, 25-minute keynotes, and then there's going to be two fireside chats, mm-hmm. one with you know, Jason Fried from CEO of Basecamp, along with TechCrunch. We have a writer from TechCrunch coming. And then with Crowd AI, you know, there's going to be a fireside chat with a top editor from Forbes. But the rest are keynotes. They're basically, you know, how they built, you know, quantum computer or the Mars rover. What lessons did they learn? How did they overcome challenges? You know, what do they think about when times get tough and when they want to give up? What things do they think about? And so the theme's the same. Like I said, the outcomes are different, but all of the recipes and the ingredients are similar to those, to what went into creating those things. And, you know, I'm looking forward to, I think people are excited about it. And that's what's really been meaningful, is to see this response from this community. There's just so many people that are so pumped up about it, and they haven't even attended yet. And that's what I'm excited about, was when they get there and when they experience it. So,
yeah. Once you see the full list, you'll get excited, just like I did seeing it. It's going to be a cool day. And, Mike, we appreciate you coming in. And best of luck to the Dare Mighty Things conference.
Thank you for having me.
You can find more, again, at daremightythings.co, and follow on Twitter as well, Dare Mighty Things. Mike Gelfman, the founder of Dare Mighty Things.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:54 on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. It looks like a strong opening later on Wall Street. Dow futures are up 60 points now. NASDAQ and S&P futures are higher as well. Let's get you the latest now on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The numbers on harvest progress out yesterday afternoon show that we're continuing to harvest soybeans, not so much with the corn crop. Corn harvested nationally as of Sunday night, 38%, down from the five-year average of 59%. And looking at some of the Midwest states, Illinois, 62% of the corn crop harvested, Indiana, 46%, Iowa, only 23%, and in Wisconsin, 15% of the corn acres have been harvested. Soybean harvest, though, nationally 70%, and that's just slightly below the five-year average of 73%. Illinois harvest at 77%, Indiana at 69%, and Iowa at 61%, Wisconsin at 64% of the soybean crop harvested. Planting of winter wheat. Well, planting of winter wheat in the producing states, the 18 states, 80%, no, make it 90% complete. That's about on the five-year average. And grains ended higher yesterday, with wheat the leader up 10.25 cents, corn up 6.5, and November soybeans up 1.25 cents. Meanwhile, livestock wasn't quite as bad as they were saying Friday after the cattle on feed report, but it was pretty much a red screen. The October live cattle contract down 40 cents a hundredweight. October feeder cattle contract down 7 cents a hundredweight. And December lean hogs down $1.35. That's your money. Have a great day.
All right,
I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, Orion, sorry about that. You too. We have now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Tuesday, October 24th. Nothing in the way of economic reports, big economic reports today, but it is a big day for earnings. AT&T, GM, Chipotle, Lockheed Martin, and a couple of companies of local interest, to Caterpillar and McDonald's, all report quarterly earnings today. Game one of the World Series is tonight at 7 o'clock. President Trump expected to talk with GOP senators for a lunch on Capitol Hill to talk about tax reform and other issues. And it is United Nations Day. Today marks the 72nd anniversary of the UN Charter being ratified. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, October 24th.